Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be Jesus Christ. There are reports of a possible new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico. I'll read to you from an article, a Catholic News Agency article by David Ramos, July 27th. This is straight out of the Mexico City newsroom. The caption is, a new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico? A video circulating on social media shows what appears to be a Eucharistic miracle. A consecrated host exposed for adoration by the faithful seems to beat like a heart. And in one of the commentaries, I heard that doctors have observed it and said, yeah, that corresponds to the typical rhythm of a beating heart, a palpitating heart. Goes on to say, this happened on July 23rd at Our Lady of the Holy Rosary Parish near Guadalajara in Mexico, state of Jalisco. Okay, there's all kinds of details. I'm just going to read some highlights. The priest who was part of this is Argentine priest Father Carlos Spahn, founder and superior of the religious family of the Immaculate Heart and Divine Mercy. So, founder of a religious community, we might be dealing with a holy man here, certainly a man dedicated to God, who is currently ministering in Mexico. He led the Eucharistic adoration service. The phenomena occurred after Mass was over. He said, we exposed the Blessed Sacrament, I said the prayers for the exposition, and when I got up to go to the sacristy, this began to happen. And some people took recordings. It says these recordings were made by people who quickly took out their cell phones, filmed it, and passed it on to the priest almost immediately, since the priest asked them for the material, so they won't alter it or anything. So did you catch that? The Eucharistic host begins to palpitate. People take out their phones, record it, show it to the priest, and the priest says, give me those immediately. Then people can't say, oh, well, it was just, you know, people altered it later. Well, no, it happened. The videos were witnessed by Father Spahn. Father Spahn says, I attest to this authenticity from the exact moment. And it says that this Eucharistic host that was palpitating like a heart lasted 20 or 30 seconds at most, which, when a miracle is happening, is actually a long time, 20 or 30 seconds. Okay, goes on to say, Father Spahn said that, now listen to this, this could be an interpretation inspired by the Holy Spirit with a certain prophetic authority. The priest, Father Spahn, said that as a personal interpretation, he sees in what happened the heart of Christ, which beats for love for men. This heart, he lamented, is so outraged, so abandoned, so despised, that sometimes we don't treat him as we should, with greater care, with more faith, with more dedication. Amen to that. Beautiful. And then the priest goes on to say, I'm not saying it's a miracle officially because I don't have the authorization to do so. And the article goes on to explain how cautious and careful the church is and the approach the church takes with matters like this. Hours before what happened in the Mexican parish, the priest had a blessed picture frame with a photo of Blessed Carlo Acutis. Are you all familiar with him? Who had a deep devotion to Eucharistic miracles and used the internet to make them better known. The photo, he said, was sealed with glass, but that night the photo began to ooze oil. I'm simply saying that without making any judgments about it. And there's more details in the article. I'll give a link to the article in the description below. If someone could include a link for the video of this Eucharistic miracle, I think it's on Twitter and other things. I'm not on Twitter, so if you could include that link, that would be great too. And I want to read to you Mark chapter 16. It says, but they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. Viva Cristo!
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening around the world. God bless you. It's always exciting when you have an opportunity to, for the good Lord to love us enough to send another Eucharistic miracle to hopefully wake some people up, turn them back to Him, and bring them into His presence for eternity. And that's what each of you all do when you come and try to help with us tonight. And hopefully everyone, as you listen, you will do all you can to share with others that maybe didn't get to see it or talk about it. And sharing is one of the ways we can definitely bring others to the good Lord for eternity. That's our job to get out there and evangelize. So tonight we have a Eucharistic miracle from Germany, isn't it, Donald?
Yes, it is from Germany. Wilsnack, that's what it's called. 1383.
Right. Awesome. So, who's with us tonight, Donald?
Well, we got Mike from New Jersey. Hey, Mike, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, we're just
This is quite a story.
It is quite a story. And I got a scripture verse. It's coming out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, Greg, I believe that is a Eucharistic, when Jesus is talking about himself, he that's the way he spoke. When he was talking about destroying this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days, he was talking about his body. And I believe he's talking about his body here as well. And so, man, we do receive him in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity. So, Greg, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing better than wonderful, brother, for sure. I just said a little prayer and lost a check. And just said a little prayer for that. Anyway,
St. Anthony, pray, you know, he's the lost and found articles. So he's the guy to go to for that, something like that.
Well, keep praying until he shows up with it.
Yeah. Ouch. That could be important, too.
Yeah. It always seems for us to have a need whenever we have a lot of need. But it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord blesses us.
So, amen to that.
All right, so who else is with us tonight, Donald?
Well, right now, I was hoping Kathy was coming.
Who was talking earlier, Donald?
It was me and Mike. Mike and I were talking. Oh, I'm sorry, about that Eucharistic miracle from Mexico. It was a priest. It was a Catholic priest, Kathy knew the name of that priest, but I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down when we played it earlier last night. But it's very interesting. I'll see if I can't research that and get that for you.
Okay, yeah. That would be good. That would be good. Yeah, I just heard somebody talk, and I said, that's not anybody I know. Just perfect timing. My granddaughter and daughter called just as I was, just before you all called, and I couldn't get back, couldn't get to the phone to switch off of it and get on the call. So anyway,
yeah, sometimes that's what grandpas do.
yeah, for sure. A little distracting tonight. All right. Just need everybody to stay strong for their family as they have many things over the years, coming times where we'll suffer. Satan is attacking for sure. Let's start out with there was a terrible fire that exploded in the village of Winsock in 1383. Among the ruins of the parish church were found three completely intact holes, which bled continuously. Wow. Pilgrims began to go there in great numbers, and for that reason, a church was built there in honor of the miracle. Its veneration was approved by two bulls of Pope Eugene the Fourth in 1447. In August 1383, the village Wilsock was sacked, robbed, and set afire by Count Henrik von Bülow. Among the ruins of the parish church were found three perfectly intact hosts from which blood flowed. After recovering the bleeding hosts, numerous miracles began to be verified. For example, Count Dietrich von Brechstern, who nurtured many doubts regarding the bleeding of the hosts, lost his vision, which was restored only when he repented of having doubted the authenticity of the miracle. This news spread rapidly, and already in 1384, the Bishop Havelberg had confirmed the miracle of the bleeding host of Wilsack. Pope Urban VI contributed an endowment for reconstruction of the church, to which was added offerings by the Archbishop of Magdeburg and of the bishops of Brandenburg, Havelberg, and Levis. Until the 1500s, Wilsack became one of the most important places of pilgrimage in Europe. Thanks to numerous offerings left by pilgrims who came to venerate the miraculous hosts, it was possible to finance the construction of the enormous church of St. Nicola, dedicated to the miracle. Even today, the church offers one of the most important examples of the Gothic style in fired brick, typical of northern Germany. The monstrance contained the relics of the three hosts was destroyed in the fire of 1522. However, numerous written testimonials about the miracle and work of art depicting it survived. In the Eucharist, Christ is truly present and alive, working through his spirit. Yet, as St. Thomas said so well, what you never see nor guess, faith confirms for you, leaving nature far behind. A sign it is that now appears, hiding in the mystery, realities sublime. He is echoed by the philosopher Pascal. Just as Jesus Christ went unrecognized among men, so does his truth appear without external deference among common modes of thought. So too does the Eucharist remain among common bread. From number 13 of Pope John Paul II's new encyclical, Faith and Reason, Fides et Ratio, Revelation of the Sacred Heart. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, in fact, we have a relic of hers, It was on June 16th, 1675, that the last of the grand revelations related relative to the Sacred Heart took place. It was to close the cycle of those solemn disclosures. Until then, the humble virgin had received from the Lord only personal favors, very like those with which other holy souls had already been favored. It only demanded of her some individual practices of devotion. Now, however, the hour was come for him to invest her with her grand public mission. During the octave of the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament, June 16, 1678, Margaret Mary was on her knees before the choir grate, her eyes fixed on the tabernacle. She had just received some of the unmeasured graces of his love. We have no particulars on these graces. Suddenly the Lord appeared on the altar and discovered to her his heart. "Behold," said he to her, "this heart which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify its love. In return, I receive from the greater part only ingratitude. By their irreverence and sacrilege, and by the coldness and contempt they have for me in this sacrament of love. What is most painful to me," added the Savior, in a tone that went to the sister's heart, "is that they are hearts consecrated to me." Then he commanded her to have established in the church a particular feast to honor his Sacred Heart. "It is for this reason, I ask thee, that the first Friday after the octave of the Blessed Sacrament be appropriated to a special feast to honor my heart by communicating on that day and making reparation for the indignity that it has received. And I promise that my heart shall dilate to pour out abundantly the influence of its love on all that will render it this honor or procure its being rendered." That's from Bogard. "I no longer take pleasure in the imperishable food or in the delights of this world. I want only God's bread, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, formed of the seed of David, and for the drink I crave his blood, which is love that cannot perish. Be grateful, therefore, to take part only in the one sacred Eucharist, for there is only one flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ and one cup to unite us with his blood. I am God. I am God's wheat and shall be ground by his teeth so that I may become Christ's pure bread." From the letters of St. Ignatius of Antioch, Bishop and Martyr. Michael, would you take over there, please?
Okay. A spiritual director of St. Isaac Yogues wrote, "It would have been well if I had learned from Father Jaguas, the manner of praying and making thanksgiving after Mass as from a soul. If I can use the phrase, glued to the Blessed Sacrament. It was before this hidden God that he performed all his spiritual exercises, his prayers, his breviary, and he did not mind the bitterness of the cold nor the annoyance of the insects." When St. Yogues became the first white man to see the modern-day Lake George in the Adriatic Mountains on Corpus Christi, he called the lake Lake of the Blessed Sacrament. Of St. René Goupil, St. Isaac Yogues writes, "We have begged God to accept our lives and our blood and unite them to his life and blood and the salvation of these tribes. It was the feast of St. Michael, September the 29th, 1642, that this angel and innocence and martyr of Jesus Christ, René Goupil, gave his life for Christ, who had offered his life on the cross for him. On her first communion, which Teresa received, love himself, personally for the first time, she writes, and I quote, It was a kiss of love. I felt myself loved, and I replied, I love you, and I give you myself forever. In her little notebook, Teresa wrote down all the days in which she received Jesus in Holy Communion. Her second meeting with Jesus was equally as intimate. On this wedding, Teresa called the words of St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, Galatians 2:20. Perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is the solution to our problems of declining vocations. Ricardo J. Cardinal Vito, Archbishop of Cebu. It is there in his Eucharist that he says to me, I thirst. I thirst for your love, your sacrifices, your sufferings. I thirst for your happiness, for it was to save you that I came into this world, that I suffered and died on the cross. And in order to console and strengthen you, I left you the Eucharist. So you have there all my life, all my tenderness. Mother Mary of Jesus, the foundress of the Sisters of Marie Repartis. At another time, St. Faustina recorded the words spoken to her by our Lord. Quote, I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour in the afternoon, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it, invoke its omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for the poor sinners. What our Lord hinted of in what he said to her next is significant. Quote, my daughter, try your best to make the stations of the cross in this hour, provided your duties permit it. And if you are not able to make the stations of the cross, then at least step into the chapel for a moment and adore the most blessed sacrament. My heart, which is full of mercy, Jesus finally added, I claim veneration for my mercy from every creature. Diary, verse 145. Do you want to go on? You want me to go on, Greg?
I'll go ahead a little bit now. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, men fled away from God and being attached to the earth, refused to unite themselves to their Creator. But the loving God has drawn them to himself by the bonds of love, as he promised by the prophet Hosea, I will draw them with the cords of Adam, with the bonds of love. These bonds are the benefits, the lights, the calls of his love, the promises of paradise, which he makes to us, but above all, the gifts which he has bestowed upon us of Jesus Christ in the sacrifice of the cross and in the sacrifice of the altar. Saint Alphonse Maria Liguori. Our Lord is the Blessed Sacrament, has his hands full of grace, and he is ready to bestow them on anyone who asks for them. Saint Peter Alcantara. Nowhere does Jesus hear our prayers more readily than in the Blessed Sacrament. Blessed Henry Suson. Let us go with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. It's in Hebrews. Since Christ himself said in reference to the bread, this is my body. Who will dare remain hesitant? And since that, with equal clarity, he asserted, this is my blood. Who will dare entertain any doubt and say that this is not his blood? You have been taught these truths, imbued with the certainty of faith. You know that what seems to be bread is not bread but the body of Christ. Although it seems to be bread when tasted, you also know that what seems to be wine is not wine, but the blood of Christ, although it does taste like wine. From a catechetical instruction given by St. Cyril of Jerusalem for his successor, John, in the 4th century. Neither theological knowledge or social action alone is enough to keep us in love with Christ unless both are preceded by a personal encounter with him. Theological insights are gained not only from between two covers of a book, but from two bent knees before an altar. The holy hour becomes like an oxygen tank to revive the breath of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the foul and fetid atmosphere of the world. And now a great one for me, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. The Eucharist is at the very center of our life. Such was the teaching of Jesus. When commenting, and just a side note, from the moment he was consecrated until he died, he did an hour of adoration minimum every day for all those years as a priest and bishop. The Eucharist is at the very center of our lives. Such was the teaching of Jesus. When commenting on the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves, he told his disciples that he himself is the living bread that came down from heaven. He called on the 12 for an act of faith, and it was Peter who answered in the name of all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Christian faith is faith in the Eucharistic Christ. The sacrament of the body of the Lord puts the demons to flight, defends us against the incentives to vice and to concupiscence, cleanses the soul from sin, quiets the anger of God, enlightens the understanding to know God, inflames the will and the affections with the love of God, fills the memory with spiritual sweetness, confirms the entire man is good, frees us from eternal death, multiplies the merits of a good life, leads us to our everlasting home, and reanimates the body of eternal life. St. Thomas Aquinas. Do you want many graces? Go and visit the Blessed Sacrament often. Do you want few graces? Visit the Blessed Sacrament rarely. Do you want none at all? Then never pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. St. John Bosco. Ask Jesus to make you a saint. After all, only he can do that. Go to confession regularly and to communion as often as you can. St. Dominic Savio. Salvation is from God, on the throne, and from the Lamb. This is the same Jesus whom everyone in the crowd was trying to touch, because power came out from him that cured them all. From the Lamb flows a river of grace which heals every nation. Every time we look upon Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, he raises us up into a deeper union with himself, opens up the floodgates of his merciful love to the whole world, and brings us closer to the day of which his final victory, where every knee shall bend and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. The reign of God is already in your midst. The coming of Jesus to us in the Eucharist is assurance of his promise of final victory. Behold, I come to make all things new. Excerpts from Rosary Meditations from Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Loving Jesus with the heart of Mary. I'll finish St. Gertrude, and then one of you take over again, please.
Okay.
St. Gertrude the Great. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my own family. Amen. Our Lord told St. Gertrude the Great that this prayer would release 1,000 souls from purgatory every time it is said. The prayer was extended to include living sinners as well. By his Eucharistic presence, Christ dwells in our midst. out of love. He has enriched the church and his with his unceasing presence. As God is in his former days dwelt in the temple of Jerusalem, he now lives in the churches and chapels. He invites us to remain in close contact with him. Through Eucharistic adoration, we concentrate our attention on him and we yield to the fascination of his invisible gaze. Opening our heart, we entrust all our petitions to him. You want to go on there now?
You want me to? I can go on.
Go ahead.
It is
the
fruit. Huh?
No, I said go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. It is appropriate that the body and blood of Christ be truly present in this sacrament because of the perfection of the new covenant. The sacrifices of the old covenant contained the true sacrifice of Christ's passion only in symbol. Therefore, it was necessary to the sacrifice of the new covenant instituted by Christ has something more, namely that it contains Christ himself who has suffered and died and contain him not only in symbol but in reality. St. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologiae. We are made partakers of the body and blood of Christ, not as taking common flesh, now, nor of a holy man united to the Word in dignity, but the truly life-giving flesh of the Word himself. Council of Ephesus, 431. The Eucharist is both a sacrifice and a sacrament. Does not nature have itself a double aspect, the sacrifice and the sacrament? The vegetables which are served at the table, the meat which is preserved on the platter, are the natural sacraments of the body of man. By them he lives. If they were endowed with speech, they would say, unless you have communion with me, you will not live. But how do they come to be our sacrament if not by sacrifice? Did not the vegetables have to be pulled up by their roots from the earth, submitted to the laws of death, then pass through the ordeal of fire before they could become the sacrament of physical life or have communion with the body? From The Tremendous Love by Fulton J. Sheen, Harper Row, 1967. St. John Chrysostom, who, as you know, treated of the Eucharistic mystery with such nobility of language and insight born of devotion, instructing his faithful on one occasion about this mystery, is expressed these most fitting words, quote, "Let us submit to God in all things and not contradict him even if what he says seems contrary to our reason and intellect. Rather, let his words prevail over our reason and intellect. Let us act in a way with regard to the Eucharistic mysteries, looking not only at what falls under our senses, but holding on to his words. For his words cannot lead us astray." The scholastic doctors often made similar affirmations that in this sacrament, the sacrament of the true body of Christ and his true blood is something that cannot be apprehended by the senses, says St. Thomas, but only by faith, which relies on divine authority. This is why in a comment on Luke 22:19, "This is my body, which is given for you," St. Cyril says, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith, for since he is the truth, he cannot lie." Thus, the Christian people, echoing the words of the same St. Thomas, frequently sing the words sight, touch, and taste in thee, are each deceived. The ear alone is most safely is believed. "I believe all the Son of God has spoken than truth's own word, for there is no truer token." In fact, St. Bonaventure asserts, "There is no difficulty about Christ's presence in the Eucharist as a sign, but he is truly present in the Eucharist as he is in heaven. This is most difficult. Therefore, to believe this is especially more meritorious. However, the Holy Gospel alludes to this when it tells of the many disciples of Christ who, after listening to the sermon about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, turned away and left our Lord, saying, "This is strange talk. Who can be expected to listen to it?" Peter, on the other hand, in reply to Jesus' question whether whether also the 12 would leave, expressed his faith in that of the others promptly and resolutely with the marvelous answer, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thy words are the words of eternal life.
Pope Paul VI, Mystery of Faith. The faithful are to hold the Eucharist in highest honor, taking part in the celebration of the most august sacrifice, receiving the sacrament devoutly and frequently, and worshiping it with supreme adoration. Pastors clarifying the doctrine on this sacrament are to instruct the faithful thoroughly about this obligation. Code of Canon 898. Lord Jesus Christ, pierce my soul with your love so that I may always long for you alone. Who are the bread of angels and the fullness of the soul's deepest desires? May my heart always hunger for you so that soul may be filled with the sweetness of your presence. Saint Bonaventure. On the altar, you are looking at the same thing as you saw there last night. You have not heard, however, what this is, what it signifies, or about the greatness of the reality of which it is a sacrament. Your eyes are looking at bread and cup. This is the evidence before your physical sight, but your faith must be instructed concerning it. This bread being Christ's body and the cup containing his blood, though perhaps these words may be enough to ignite faith, faith must be further instructed in accordance with the prophet's words, believe that you may understand. St. Augustine of Hippo. The Eucharist is the supreme proof of the love of Jesus. After this, there is nothing more but heaven itself. St. Peter, Julian, and Emmanuel. All expressions of love, even the highest and the most profound, are verified in the Eucharist. Thus, it is a love that is crucified, a love that unites, a love that adores, a love that contemplates, a love that prays, a love that delightfully satisfies. Father Stefano Manelli. For one in such a lofty position to stoop so low is a marvel that is staggering. What sublime humility and humble sublimeness that the Lord of the universe, the divine Son of God, should stoop as to hide himself under the appearance of bread for our salvation. Behold, the humble way of God. The humble way of God, my brothers. Therefore, do not hold yourselves to be anything of yourselves, so that you may be entirely acceptable to the one who gives himself entirely to you. St. Francis of Assisi. In the presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament, we ought to be like the blessed in heaven before the divine essence. St. Teresa of Avila. Can you feel the fragrance of paradise which diffuses itself from the tabernacle? St. Philip. The faith of the church is this, that one and identical is the Word of God and the Son of Mary, who suffered on the cross, who is present in the Eucharist, and who rules in heaven. Pope Pius XII. Jesus, food of strong souls, strengthen me, purify me, make me godlike. St. Gemma Galgali. We have one of her first class relics too. It is for us that during 1800 years, our divine Savior has remained day and night on our altars, that we may have recourse to him in all our needs, and nothing so much afflicts his divine heart as our ingratitude for such a favor and our neglect to visit him and ask his blessing. If we knew how profitable those visits are, we should be constantly prostrate before the altar. The saints understood this truth. They knew that Jesus Christ is the source of all graces. And whenever they encountered any difficulty or wished to obtain any particular favor, they ran to Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. St. Francis Xavier, St. Francis Regis, and others spent whole hours during the day and frequently a greater part of the night at the foot of the altar. It was in these long interviews with Christ Jesus that they advanced the good works they had in hand, converted sinners, and obtained success in all their undertakings for the glory of God and their own sanctification. My heart feels as if it were being drawn by a superior force each morning just before uniting with him in the Blessed Sacrament. I have such a thirst and hunger before receiving him that it's a wonder I don't die of anxiety. I was hardly able to reach the divine prisoner in order to celebrate Mass. When the Mass ended, I remained with Jesus to render him thanks. My thirst and hunger do not diminish after I have received him in the Blessed Sacrament, but rather increase steadily. On how sweet was the conversation I held with Paradise this morning, the heart of Jesus and my own. If you will pardon my expression, fused. They were no longer two hearts beating, but only one. My heart disappeared as if it were a drop in the ocean. Blessed Padre Pio, what a deal. Are you ready to take on, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here. Just a minute.
The saints, being far advanced in the practice of love, were faithful and ardent adorers of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Importantly, Eucharistic adoration has always been considered as the closest likeness we have to the eternal adoration which will make up our whole paradise. The difference lies only in the veil, which hides the sight of that divine reality of which faith gives us unwavering certainty. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament has been the fervent devotion of the saints. Their devotion lasted hours and hours, sometimes whole days or nights. There, at Jesus' feet, like Mary of Bethany, keeping him fond and intimate company, absorbed in contemplating him. They surrendered their hearts in a pure and fragrant offering of adoring love. Father Stefano Manelli. Are you ready, Donald? Somebody?
Yeah, I can pick it up.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. When we speak to Jesus with simplicity and with all our heart, he does like a mother who holds her child's head with her hands and covers it with kisses and caresses. St. John Vianney on adoring Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Pope Gregory XV said that St. Teresa of Avila saw our Lord Jesus Christ present in the host so distinctly with the eyes of her spirit, she said she did not begrudge the happy lot of the blessed who beheld the Lord face to face in heaven. Through perpetual adoration, a parish gives the King all the love he truly deserves. That is why today the Liturgy for Christ the King begins with this prayer. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, glory, and praise, comes from Revelation 5:12. Perpetual adoration is the divine romance between Jesus and his people. It is saying yes to his marriage proposal. All he wants is our love. For it is love I desire, not sacrifice, Hosea 6:6. Then he will surprise you with the inheritance of his kingdom. From Letters to a Brother Priest by Reverend Father Martin Lucia and Monsignor Josefano Ramirez. Go with him as his inseparable companion to the wedding feast of Cana and drink of the wine of his blessing. Let you have ever before you the face of the Lord and look upon his beauty and let your earnest gaze turn nowhere away from his most sweet countenance. So go before him into a desert place and see the wonder of his works, where he multiplied in his own holy hands the bread that sufficed to feed a great multitude. Go, my brother, go forward, and with all the love of your soul, follow Christ wherever he may go, and lovingly behold him as taking bread into his hands, blessed it, and breaks it, and the outward form of his own immaculate body, and the chalice which he blessed as the outward form of his precious blood, and gave to his disciples. And be you also partakers of the sacraments. St. Ephraim of Syria, circa 306 to 373. The Eucharist is the link that binds the Christian family together. Take away the Eucharist, you have no brotherliness left. St. Peter Julian Emard, Jesus healed 10 lepers. Only one came back to give him thanks for the miracle of a clean body. Jesus said, "We're not all 10 made whole. Where are the other 9? Every Sunday, Jesus performs a far greater miracle for us. The gift of the Holy Eucharist makes us immortal with divine life. Each communion will leave our soul everlasting more glorious and beautiful. In heaven, in spite of the fact that Jesus asked us to give thanks for this great gift by coming back during the week and visiting him in the Blessed Sacrament, only a very few do. Your sacrifice will make up for the ingratitude of the other 9, for the many who never think of visiting him at all, from the value of sacrifice. Give thanks, therefore, to God the Father for having given you his divine Son, not only a brother in the incarnation, as a teacher of truth, as a savior on the cross, but especially as your Eucharist, your bread of life, your heaven already begun. Thank the Holy Ghost for continuing through the priest to produce him daily on the altar, as he did the first time in Mary's virginal womb. Let your thanksgiving ascend to the throne of the Lamb, to the hidden God as a sweet-smelling incense, as the most beautiful hymn of your soul and the purest and tenderest love of all your heart. Thank him in all humility of heart like Saint Elizabeth. In the presence of Mary and the Word incarnate, thank him with the vibrant ardor of Saint John the Baptist, where he felt the closeness of his divine master hidden like himself in his mother's womb. Thank him with the joy of generosity of Zacchaeus when he received the visit of Jesus in his house. Thank him with the Holy Church and the heavenly court. In order that your thanksgiving may never cease and go on forever, increasing what is done in heaven. Consider the goodness, the beauty ever old and ever new of the God of the Eucharist, who for our sake is consumed and reborn without ceasing on the altar. St. Peter Julian Emir. We come here to meet the heart of Jesus, pierced for us, in which water and blood gush. It is the redeeming love which is at the origin of salvation, of our salvation, which is at the origin of the church. Now still today, the living Christ loves us and presents his heart to us as a source of our redemption. We are called not only to meditate and contemplate on this mystery of Christ's love, we are called to take part in it. It is the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. the center of our faith, the center of our worship of Christ's merciful love manifested in his sacred heart, a mystery which is adored here night and day. In the Holy Eucharist, this is also the meaning of perpetual adoration. We enter the movement of love. We enter the movement of love, which all interior progress and all an apostolic efficacy springs. From the Holy Father's address at the Basilica Montmartre, 1980, when he spoke of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, who has been perpetually adored here there for more than 100 years. Adore and praise this immense love Jesus has for you in the sacrament of himself, in order not to leave you lonely or an orphan in this land of exile and misery. He comes from heaven for you personally, to offer you companionship and consolation. Thank him, therefore, with all your love and all your strength. Thank him in union with all the saints. Express your wonder at the sacrifices he imposed on himself in his sacramental state. He conceals the glory of his divinity and humanity so as not to dazzle and blind you. He veils his majesty so that we will not be afraid to come to him and speak to him as friend to friend. He does not manifest the perfection of his virtues so as not to discourage us in our weakness. He even checks the ardor of his heart and of his love for you because you could not stand the strength and tenderness of it. He lets you see only his goodness, which filters though, as it were, and escapes from the sacred species like a ray of sunshine through a thin cloud. Come to me.
O marvelous sacrament, how can I find words to praise you? You are the life of the soul, mediatement healing our wounds, our comforter when we are overburdened, the memorial of Jesus Christ, the proof of his love, the most precious precept of this testament, our companion in the pilgrimage of life, the joy sustaining us in our exile, the burning coal kindling the fire of divine love, the instrument of grace, the pledge of eternal bliss, and the treasure of Christians. Louis of Granada. The Eucharist is a fire which inflames us. St. John Damascene. From the Eucharist comes strength to live the Christian life and zeal to share that life with others. Pope John Paul II to the Bishop of India. I try to rekindle the fire of the Holy Eucharist. St. Peter Julian Nimyard. The purpose of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament is not only to awaken a sense of wonderment and adoration as we dwell on the reality of the presence of Christ before us. It also brings to the mind the benefits that can be derived. It is often said today that through exposition we are exposed to the Blessed Sacrament in such a way as to receive the abundant fruits that come with the life-giving presence of Christ given for the life of the world. Reverend Roland Hewitt. It's as if we expose ourselves to the sun and its beneficial influences. Brother Ephraim, about prayer before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. Lord, by the words of consecration, the substance of the bread and wine is converted into the substance of your body and blood. All-powerful Lord, say over me the word which will change me into you. The faith I have when I am in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament is so strong that I find it impossible to express what I feel. When the time comes to leave, I must force myself to overcome the inclination to prolong my stay with Jesus. St. Francis Xavier often spent whole hours during the day and into the night before Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, who gave him the grace and the strength to lead so many souls to Christ. His devotion to our Eucharistic Lord was so great that Father Stefano Mandelli writes, "What shall we say of St. Francis Xavier, who at times when distributing Holy Communion felt so carried away by the sense of adoration toward our Lord who was in his hands, that he got on his knees and in that position continued giving Holy Communion. Can that not present a witness of faith and love worthy of heaven? Because Jesus loved you infinitely, unlimited in the joy you would bring to his Sacred Heart, when you come to spend an hour with him in the Blessed Sacrament, in an apparition to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Jesus spoke these words, moving words, 'I have a burning thirst to be honored by men in the Blessed Sacrament. From the flyer, come to me. I wait for you in this sacrament of love.' Eucharistic adoration is the greatest action. To adore is to share the life of Mary on earth when she adored the Word incarnate in her virginal womb, when she adored him in the crib, on Calvary, in the divine Eucharist." St. Peter Judah Nimyard. "Once for all, beloved children, the surest, easiest, shortest way is by the Eucharist. It is so easy to approach the Holy Table, and there we taste the joys of paradise." Pope Pius X.
The Pope also beatified Dinah Ballinger because of her devotion to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus revealed to Dana the power of the holy hour in making reparation. One form of reparation is the ability to make up for what is lacking in the life of another. One day before her holy hour, Jesus showed Dana a multitude of souls on the precipice of hell. After her holy hour, Jesus showed the same souls in the hands of God. He told her that through holy hours of prayer, a multitude of souls go to heaven who otherwise would have gone to hell. One person can make up for what is lacking in the lives of others by winning precious, efficacious graces for their salvation. In other words, Eucharistic adoration is the outpouring of God's divine mercy on the world. From how one soul coming before the Blessed Sacrament can change the world. The yes of Mary gave us the Holy Eucharist as the body of Jesus was formed from the Immaculate Heart of his mother, from whose flesh Jesus took the flesh he gives us in the Blessed Sacrament. The virgin shall give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, a name which means God with us. This is our joy today. Jesus chose the name Emmanuel because of his infinite desire to dwell with us always in this most blessed sacrament, as absolute proof of his everlasting love and constant affection for each of us. Jesus calls you to be with him today, waiting for you with a great desire. "I have called you by name because you are precious in my eyes and glorious, and because I love you. All the love in all the world since the beginning of time is only a drop in the ocean in comparison with the love of Jesus has for you alone in this Holy Eucharist. The continuation of his incarnation on earth, the fulfillment of his name, Emmanuel, God is with us." From the book Rosary Meditations from Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Loving Jesus with the Heart of Mary. "The womb of our Immaculate Mother Mary is wholly untouched, nor dug nor sown from heaven's dew alone. It brings forth a Savior and provides mortal men with the bread of angels and the food of eternal life." St. Irenaeus. "From one grain of corn which a virgin's womb brought forth, an abundant harvest of faithful souls has grown all over the world." Blessed Guerric of Igne. "O Mother of Mercy, be filled with your Son's glory and leave what you have done, what you have over to your little ones." Psalm 16:4. "You are now at the table. We are dogs under the table." Matthew 15:27. "Like a maid with her eyes on the hands of her mistress, this hungry family looks to you for the food of life. Through you, we have shared in the fruit of life at the beginning of the table of these present sacraments. Though we share in the table of everlasting joys in the same fruit of life, Jesus, the blessed fruit of your womb, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. St. Louis de Montfort.
Wow.
Well, that's incredible. The end. We can say to all these saints, boy, you said a mouthful.
Amen to that. I'm gonna give it over to you. I've got company just came in. You all say the prayer, closing prayer tonight, and
okay.
God bless everyone. We'll see you next week.
Amen. And the memori. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. And this whole show, this whole episode tonight was all a prayer. It was the whole, all of it was a prayer. And thank you, Greg, and thank you, Mike. That was amazing. I mean, I just sat back here and just wondered through it all. Man, wow.
You know, Don, there's, when we got to the word nowhere, N-O-W-H-E-R-E, you could actually say that in two. You could actually pronounce that two different ways. One, you could say is God is nowhere, or change the accent, change the syllable, the accent on one syllable, and say God is now here. You don't change the spelling at all.
Amazing, beautiful, and thank you so much, Mike and Greg. Because that was amazing. And so I'm going to end it with a song here, Mike.
Yeah.
And it's a song called Adoration. And so we will see you on the next time. God bless you. And we will, and thank you so much. That was fantastic. Good job. May the Lord bless you, Mike, and, of course, you too, Greg, out there, Grandpa.
Yeah, whoever Grandpa is.
Yeah, I think all of
somebody us. Somebody once said Jesus has no grandchildren.
Well, we're all his children, so.
You betcha.
God bless you. And so, Mike, you just take care. God bless you, man. And we'll talk at you later.
Okay. Good night.
Fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of the Catholic Defender, where we examine the truths of our faith and why we believe it. Our guest host tonight has been Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. It is our hope that after listening to this program, your faith is strengthened and you can truly say,
I believe in miracles.
Please be sure and join us next time when Dr. Thompson brings you an in-depth examination of a Eucharistic miracle, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.